Yes.
Wasn't just all solely because of Kawhi, and obviously you see that. You know they got the two-headed monsters and Fred and Kyle. That sets the tone, and their wings are extremely well, extremely good. And Pascal and OG. And now they got so much. They got experience in the front court, at the center position, and Mark and Serge, and then they got a bunch of complimentary guys, and that's why. They've been the team that they've been all year. For us, I feel like we played, well to beat them tonight. We just didn't have enough shots to go in, and then they executed and they hit some shots, that we weren't able to hit. So, sometimes it can't be a make or miss league, but you don't take any credit away from the Raptors. They played extremely well.
Last question, Dave McMenamin.
There's another question?
There we go. Hey, LeBron. A lot of seasons, the defending champ gets talked about a lot more than this Raptors team has been talked about. Obviously, they had Kawhi Leonard change teams, but in terms of that conversation, how do you view that Raptors team?
It's a great team. No ifs, ands, or buts. Exceptionally well coached. And championship DNA, you can never take that away from a ball club. You win a championship, and even before that, they just got playoff tested guys. Guys have played not only here in the NBA in big games, but also in FIBA games as well. Mark has been, in big games throughout his whole life, pretty much it seems like. They're just a great team, and the media may not talk about them much or give them much credit because Kawhi is gone, but players in the league definitely know what type of team they are.
Spitting fire.
And there we have it. Welcome to Raps Rant podcast, discussing all things Raptors, all things NBA, hosted by myself, Philip Marion, and Blair Johnson.
That's me.
Welcome. So that,
we haven't even posted our last one yet, Phil.
People, we're posting that first, and you'll hear, because I know everybody's going to listen to it in full. That I didn't predict it, but I said, hey, the schedule is tough. We could very well go 1-7. We're already 2-0.
Oh, man, what a great intro that was hearing LeBron talk about us, because you know what?
Hey, wait, just one quick thing. I think that's the first time OG's ever been mentioned ever. So
I didn't know who it was when they said that. I had to look at the box score.
We'll discuss OG. Number of people that want me to apologize for hating on him. There's no apology coming. He's not in Lowry territory.
No.
But
yeah, hit a couple big wide open threes, which I'm not. I don't mean to say wide open as in.
No, he guarded LeBron very well.
No, and but also hit some big shots offensively. So yeah. Fine enough. But that was really interesting because I feel like there's, I'm reading into this here, but. When LeBron, when he swept us four straight, when we were the, the top seed and blah, 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 there was always like a fake respect. It's like, oh, the Raptors are great. DeMar DeRozan's a great player. When he just said that there, you could see pain in his face being like, we got to go through these guys. Like, he's scared. They don't like playing against us because we're bullies, man. We're bullies. No. But when he's playing it, now he's like, who's this OG guy? And then all of a sudden they got Siakam, who's like, now Siakam's 6'10", 250, whatever, 230 pounds, whatever it is. But we're not small anymore. So to go walk through it, when I watch the highlights of this, Phil, you and I watch the defense, like the breakdown
the
of the defense.
The defensive analysis.
The triple, it's like Marc Gasol steps up in the middle. Then all of a sudden Siakam's in the middle. And then OG's in the middle. It's like, who's he going to go through?
The rotations that the Raptors do is the best in the NBA, and that's why they're the best at defending the three-point shot.
We're the number two team at defending within 6 feet of the basket, yeah. And number one. We're the only team that's even remotely close. It's impossible to cover both.
It's beautiful to watch. Their closeout on three-point shooters is amazing. So the main thing in that Lakers game is – well, one, they were able to take out everybody because you would think, okay.
Listen, there's open shots, but no one feels comfortable. And you and I watch that defense where they go, I don't know if because they pretend like they're running out on you and then they don't.
No, you always have them in your mind. And you look at guys that have had really strong games against other teams on the Lakers or role players like Kyle Kuzma, eventually J.R. Smith's got to have a game, Deion Waiters, and before you would have people like Avery Bradley. But those guys, with the closeout that the Raptors do, they're essentially useless. Like Kyle Kuzma had to pull up from half court to get what he thought was a clean shot at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll knock on wood here because I hate Danny Green. I honestly hate him. I hate him. And so if he's actually the guy that ends up just getting hot and like I know, and that's what I mean. If he hits like six threes against us because we leave him open, it's gonna like break my heart. But at the same point, I agree that there's very few teams, almost no teams, that have the intelligence and the length that the Raptors do. When you combine a mixture of, you know, help defense with, you know, again, who's the small? We've got Lowry who stands in for the Chargers. By the way, the way that they work, it's like lions working together. Like, we watched that breakdown of the defense, and like they're like Lowry. These guys are filtering people to Lowry.
Yes,
like on purpose for the charge. There's a reason he leads the league in charges. Van Vliet leads. He's like sixth in the league in steals. He's number one
in deflection.
Yeah, because everything is strategically led to like filter to you to where they want, which is what I love. I love watching football defense, and I love watching the Raptors defense because they are putting you where they want you. Yeah. They're like, go here.
You think that you're actually getting somewhere, but then you don't realize it. Yeah.
And you know, I'm going to be a consistent doubter. You know, that's in my nature.
It's ingrained in my bones.
But watching these guys we are the best team in the league. We're the champions. That's our number one thing. That's what we started with. That when he said they have championship DNA, we've never seen it more than we've seen it recently.
So we'll break down the games in a bit more detail. But even looking at LA and Miami, the feeling I have when I watch them is that they have a level of arrogance now. You have to beat us, guys. Sorry, we're gonna have an off. We can have an off night, but we're still not losing. So defense is our staple. That's always gonna be consistent and always there. And there's gonna be times where the shooting's gonna be terrible, but good luck, guys. We'll find a way to win.
The most simple way of looking at this is if you were to analyze the Lakers game. On paper, they would have said the Raptors are underdogs. And when you watched the game, you would have said the Lakers are the underdogs here. Correct. No question about it. Correct. You would have, the way that the players looked, the way that they walked down the floor. Obviously, even the flow of the game is dominated by
us. No panic when they go down.
Never. And zero. And offensive possessions, defensive possessions, we're bullies. We're bullies. We are. They play in a way that as you watch. Now, of course, when we watch them, when Lowry pull up for like a transition three, I assume it's going to miss. When I see a corner three from OG, I assume it's going to miss, and they don't miss because they're literally elite basketball players. But that's just the pessimism of being, you know, your own fan and expecting the worst. But when you actually watch their eyes and their like demeanor, it's insane.
Pretty confident every game now, which I've never had before, in terms of watching their ability. I know that they're going to be in every game. Because their defense. Let's look at actually how well the starters played relative to their starting five. And we have
Pascal. That's one of the things they keep saying is our bench isn't playing. But that's a good thing because we know our bench is strength. Exactly.
They're not scared either. They have no fear. But Pascal was a plus 27. OG was plus 27. Gasol was a plus 18. Lowry plus 24. Van Vliet plus 26. Like, that's absurd. That's just decimation.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just saw that Philly beat San Antonio by two, and I'm really upset about that because San Antonio is like just hanging on by a thread about making the playoffs for that record time.
Yeah, I think that should be an asterisk on San Antonio's part because I don't think they can technically get the eighth seed with their record, but they can as long as they're within four games. Yeah. As long as they're within four games, then they would get a chance for a play-in. Kind of weird.
Anyway, it's okay. Let's take me through the stats. Let's go through these.
Well,
stats.
Anthony Davis was a minus 17, LeBron minus 20, McGee minus 10, Danny Green minus 11, but he wasn't on the floor that long. And Caldwell Pope was a minus 27. That
how were they even in the game?
Well, Marcus Morris was a plus 10, but he was in for 10 minutes.
We did win, but I mean, it was garbage time.
With 6 minutes left, the game is tied.
Yeah.
So they pulled away. And that's what they're showing, that resiliency, even when they're not playing well. I'll say the one thing that is worrisome, what we mentioned before, is the rebounding. And it was more evident in the game against Miami, which we'll talk about. The game in Miami was... It had a level of emotion up and down. I don't like our matchup with Miami. We don't play very well against them, and there's a reason. They're very similar to us. They're very tenacious on the defensive end.
I will say this about the Miami beat us, what, twice earlier?
They beat us twice. In one game, we scored 76 points.
Yeah.
Now, they only scored 84, but yeah, at the same time.
But what I'll say about Miami is that when, you know, what I looked at was, you know, through three quarters, we were slogging along. It was an ugly game. We weren't playing very well. We were up 17 points. And
the third quarter was really...
And that to me was sort of like, you know, it was sort of typical Raptors where, like, you know, I kept looking down. It was like turnover. Oh, we're up 17 still somehow. How is that? It's just because that's how good the defense is. And the offense always finds a way. I mean, obviously Freddie yesterday and... You know, when people listen to this, they'll hear me talk to you about Serge struggling. Serge was 0 of 7 yesterday. Serge wasn't 0 of 7.
Serge was great.
7 of 12, 1 of 4 from 3. So he is struggling from 3 right now. I mean, that's not unusual. Okay. But, you know, Serge's money on that little hook. It's so funny. Phil and I were playing basketball, you know, before COVID started. We tried to do that little baby running hook.
It's
like,
impossible.
And pretend like we were from where he was. And it's like he makes it look like it's like just like a layup on like the drills before the game you play in high school. It's like from the free throw line. And he's like hitting it every time. It's actually unbelievable. It's such a special shot.
The free throw line floater that pros make look so easy is absurdly hard.
Tony Parker was the best at it I've probably ever seen, right? That was his move. It was just he shot it from the hip. It would like go up like off a dribble and it was just swish every time. But Ibaka... That's what I have such a
shout
fond
out to Jamie
of.
Grimm right now because he used to do the in-game floater all the time.
No, Dick Grimm did
OT baby, he did the in-game floater. Sometimes it would just hit backboard, but that's
I just
okay.
didn't care. Just bricked it backwards. So yeah, I mean, looking at the numbers, I mean, you know, again, I think there was a couple things I looked at. One, you know, Siakam was 4 of 7 from three. This is the Miami game I'm talking about here.
Well, Siakam was special in the first quarter. He actually. He scored 13 first quarter points.
Two in the second.
And so what did he end up with? And a couple of them were garbage time free throws.
He ended up with, 22.
22. And a couple of those were free throws at the end. Like he basically scored 7 points the rest of the game.
No, he definitely struggles against your buddy.
Bam.
You know, and you see the fear in him. They kept calling it out. They're like, he's got to be more assertive here when he gets near the basket. Like
a couple times he rushed. Because Bam's an excellent defender and kind of forces you to rush a bit and think.
Well, and that's so weird because a lot of Siakam's game is about being that like kind of slow Euro steppy, like, you know, like that's what I love about Kawhi. Kawhi's best part of his game to me is those slow. He slows that Euro step, bam, 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 and then the defense is like, no, it's a travel. It's like, no, I just walked for 3.5 minutes. I'm gonna lay it up, and he's just slow and strong, right? And I think when the playoffs come, Siakam's got to learn to be that way because he has such an advantage over people. First of all, he's got an incredible touch around the basket. That's what I don't get about it. You're not blocked. He floats the ball up high on the backboard all the time.
There was actually a number of, and that's call it on both sides, Miami and Toronto, there was a lot of rust around the rim.
Sure.
Because like, when you're used to that.
OG's has never, ever played. It's like he's 3.5 feet tall when he gets around the rim. He just does like that multiple head fakes into like traffic and then just throws it off the bottom of the rim. It's actually so hard to watch. It's so hard to watch.
But he's worked on his dribbling. No, right?
OG can only hit wide open threes.
Hey, 3-and-D is fine. What's wrong with 3-and-D?
Transition alley-oops.
What's wrong with that? It's fine.
Well, that's it.
Just do it. Focus on D. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Because you and I talked about this in the last podcast. Stop pretending like you more than there are.
No.
He did one crossover with like, look at that move. And I was like, Phil, I was saying this to myself. You weren't there with me. He was looking at his feet and he goes, right, left, right. I was like, yeah, that's what I do in high school too. If one guy stood in front of me, I'd be like, throw it out of bounds.
And if someone calls you, if someone stops you or doesn't fall for it, you're done.
No, that's
it. Passing the ball.
You just throw it out of bounds. You just toss it out of bounds.
Or you end up traveling or something.
Yeah, and that's what he did. And they were so impressed. And that's what I don't like about it. It's like, well, they pretend like he's more than he is. Like, oh, we never saw that 4 months ago. Yeah, we did.
We did.
He had a pylon in front of him, and he was like dribbling. Remember they're looking against LeBron?
A couple times he'll have a nice spin move, but Bam Adebayo, I feel like, embarrassed OG a couple times.
Oh, I know.
Except for one drive. So then he starts the second half. He hits. I was talking with Megan, and so Megan, by the way, will most likely be joining us some point soon. I know she has.
If she's too positive, she can't come on.
She's been building up. No, she can't battle us.
She can't be building this positivity because she knows just by nature I'm going to have to bring her down.
She's a huge OG fan. I respect it.
Not allowed on this show.
I respect it. But my point was, I like OG.
Phil, but how many minutes did he play during the championship run last year?
What the hell? He was injured.
Perfect. Not a championship DNA. Not a champion. Get off the team.
Get out of here.
No, he's got to earn it. He has not earned anything.
He will earn it. He's earning it with his defense. If you play good defense, you're fine. So that's why I don't care if he has a game against the Heat and he goes 1-for-5. The inconsistency is OG. That's what all it is. It's fine.
Phil, if it's round one and OG goes 1-of-5 from three and he guards LeBron to 26 points, he's on the street as far as I'm concerned.
I disagree.
And I'll find out where he lives.
Because a LeBron might have scored 40.
I'm not a violent man. I'm just going to go to wherever he lives, and I'm just gonna say, deliver this guy's mail here. That's something like
you're
that. You know what I mean? I'm going to be nice and honest.
So I was saying this, like he's got 0 points at half. Here's typical OG, nowhere to be seen. And then he hits a three, and he does like this move at the top of the key, faking the three and driving the lane, which was quite beautiful. And I was like, what the hell just happened? But that was the only, he missed the layup. He just shot free throws. And his only shot he made was that three. So that was him the rest of the game. Yeah.
I remember the play, and he had it too strong off the backboard. Yeah, he's like, oh my God, I've never been this close to the rim.
No, but here's the Miami game, the star, Fred VanVleet, what more can you say? What a spectacular performance.
The jersey I bought last week.
It's just, he was 13 of 13 from the free throw line, which is, I couldn't believe he got to the line that much. Miami fans were crying a bit about the refs. I'm sorry, but we were driving the lane. We weren't shooting 73s like you were. But the thing that was stood out of the weakness, which is the one thing that worries me, and it was the one team stat, was that we're very weak rebounding the ball. And Miami, in their comeback, they had a lot of second chance opportunities from
There's
those offensive
There's nothing that's also
rebounds.
Just more infuriating.
Yeah,
as a
and with Miami, which is the worst, is that they're so strong with their 3-point shot when it gets streaky good that they were getting offensive rebounds and then kicking it out, and you're watching Tyler Hero hit threes, and you know then I start wanting to throw something. I was on a patio by the way.
I would say I had to reserve my rage.
I would say
the two most privileged, angering moments I have in my life is when someone brings out, you know, your food cold, or when you get offensive rebounds against you.
You get that mad with food cold, just send it back.
Well, I'm just too nice of a guy, I guess.
Just say, hey, this is too cold. You get rage?
Yeah, so we were out rebounded only by two, but I agree.
But look at the stat. So we had three offensive rebounds and they had eight, which led to a crazy.
So Phil, we had three offensive rebounds the whole game?
The whole game. That's it. And they had eight.
OG
is
supposed
low.
To be an offensive rebounder. Again, another reason why I hate him.
Listen, we had eight, or Miami had eight, and that I don't have the stat, but those eight offensive rebounds, I feel like, led to 24 points. So it feels like every single one was a three when they got a second chance.
Okay, so there's some really weird stats in here, okay? So
Raps had a lot of turnovers.
I don't know if what I'm seeing is right, okay? So this can't be right.
21 turnovers. That's pretty
brutal.
Did
we have 17 blocks and they had three? That can't be right.
We had three blocks.
Oh, so they had 17. No.
They had eight blocks. What are you looking at?
What's the BL? What's BL stand for?
Are you looking at
the Heat game?
Yeah.
I'm on NBA.com. At the bottom, it says points in the paint, 17 versus 15. It says BL.
I apologize to our listeners for amateur hour here. I'm sorry.
If you guys want to go call. Look, if you want to, Phil, just show me this stat. What is this stat right here? What's that?
I see
BL.
I see BLK, which is blocks.
Okay, so what's BL then?
I don't know.
Well, we got something, a new thing for all the fans out there to go look into. What's BL?
We don't have Bull on the team. There's no chance of 17 blocks.
Points in the paint, they had 36. We had 22. That's a little bit strange.
Interesting. Because we went to the line. Well, do they count points in the paint for the free throws? No, obviously not. It has to be made baskets. So we had a lot more free throws during the game.
Okay, so let's go through a couple things here, Phil. We talked a little bit about the arrogance and how much we love the, you know, the arrogance. What do you think about now? You know, well, it's funny because people will be listening to like our fear on the our last podcast about the Raptors going 4-4 and everyone, and Celtics are going to overtake us. It looks like we're going to be the number two.
We're close. So we've got a 4.5 game lead, and there's 6 games left.
Yeah,
and so we'll knock. We have one game against Boston. So we. Basically, if Boston, you know, they lose one, we win one, it's pretty much. I mean, it's a high chance we're going to go 4-4 at this point.
Listen,
What I'd love to see is the ability to lock this up early. And I'm not a fan of resting players, but at the same time, I don't want to see Siakam, Lowry, and Van Vliet playing 40 minutes at the second last seeding game. I'd like them to just get a nice sweat in 20, 25 minutes, keep them fresh. That's basically it. So we'll see. The next game is Orlando, who we've like owned their souls. And I apologize to everybody. I'm done. We lost that game. So that's over.
No, and so lost the series against them.
No, it's fine. That's why I did it. So they'd lose in the regular season to them one game and we could recover. We play them in the playoffs. But so that game's over now because I said that. And then next game is Boston.
It's home court advantage for Orlando, so
amazing.
Yeah, so we got Brooklyn, Orlando now. It looks like, again, we're gonna knock on wood here, not gonna get ahead of ourselves, but what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously Orlando,
what a shame for Jonathan Isaac. That's just awful that he's out, because he's a great young player. I think he was kind of, yeah, he was coming into his own a bit. He's starting to grow, and you know, he suffers that injury. That's too bad. I mean, it's going to make them. It's really making the 7-8 seed in the Eastern Conference like.
Yeah, they're not. They're like a 12 seed now.
Very weak. It's very weak. Well, they. So you've got basically.
You know what? There's a part of me though. I want to beat Brooklyn because it, just what they did to us in the past, and so.
No, that doesn't count.
No, it does. No. The fans is what counts. It's not the players. No, but it's still, not the players, Phil.
What? That's not even.
Who cares about the players?
That's not even fair. Like it. Brooklyn is so.
That's like
injured.
Saying you don't want to beat nobody, the Montreal Canadiens because.
No, I'm just not going to be like, yeah, we beat Brooklyn, like big deal.
First round of the playoffs. Of course, we're not going to care. No, but I'm going to be happier. Like
you want them like
versus
Orlando. I want Boston. I want to beat Boston.
That's a different ballgame. I'm just saying. Brooklyn, if you're against Brooklyn or Orlando, I'm so sorry.
Brooklyn has like 4 players from the roster that even came to play. Where's the rest? How did they even fill the rest of the team? Jamal Crawford just showed up.
I don't care. When the Montreal Canadiens play the Toronto Maple Leafs, they could literally put Carey Price on the ice and no one else, and I would still laugh in their face when we beat them. It's just a bit of vendetta. That's all. Because I don't like the Brooklyn fans. I'm just sorry. Yeah. I don't like New York fans. I don't like Brooklyn fans. I'm happy to rub it in their faces. That's all.
Yeah, but that's just
Orlando doesn't have a bad taste in my mouth. They never did.
Rub it in your face. We're clearly superior at this moment. And guess what? They're going to have a healthy Kevin Durant and Kyrie, so careful what you wish for in terms of trying to rub things in
people's
faces.
Even more so. Let's create a real, obviously they're not going to care about what I say unless they listen to this Raps rant, which they may. And in that case, I'm going to tell them, hey, Brooklyn.
All right.
You suck.
I want Boston. It's going to be a crazy good series if we play them. Crazy.
Nah,
good.
We're going to beat them. We'll
crazy
kill
good.
Them. We'll crush
oh,
them.
It's going 7 games.
No.
Guaranteed.
No.
7 games.
5 games. Crush them.
All right. I love your audio. You're sounding like Megan. So it's great.
I said this to you in the last podcast. Raptors are. I've always felt from when you're not necessarily the best shooting team, the crowd hurts you even more. The Raptors, I think, are thriving under this no crowd sort of scenario. I really believe that.
I don't know. I mean, like look at
the shooting percentage.
Look at the environments they were in the playoffs last year. They were fine. That's the reason they won.
Well, we lost in Philly. We beat them one game, right?
Look at Milwaukee. Like
we lost the first 2 games in Milwaukee. We only won one game in Milwaukee, didn't we?
Yeah, but look, we only won one, but we should have won game one, and Lowry went off. I mean,
I've just never found the Raptors to be a specifically good team on the road team.
Yeah.
I just don't.
What I bring up with the first one, my first theory was that you're going to have some players that are going to step up that you wouldn't expect because they don't. You're not feeling the same pressure.
Sure.
And here's an example: Shake Milton on Philly.
Yep.
He just hit the game-winning shot. Does that guy typically take a game-winning shot ever?
I don't know. I think that you're right. I think that it goes both ways. I think there's people that feed off the home crowd and the arrogance of the home crowd and the fake, like a Robert Horry probably, you know, he probably hit shots on the road too. But I think, you know, a guy like Terrence Davis is going to really benefit from being not
he's
having
getting that. No minutes right now.
He's averaging 7 points a game or something like that in Terrence very Davis? Limited minutes. Yeah.
He played 4 minutes against Miami.
And what did he score?
Zero.
Oh, he didn't score at all.
And L.A., he only took one shot. And in L.A., he didn't play. I'd like to see him get some more minutes, but...
I agree.
VanVleet played 42 minutes against the Heat. Pascal was 36. Like, the only one that... we're running an eight-man rotation.
Hollis Jefferson was not even
11
super
minutes.
Involved.
We've got an eight-man rotation right now. That's what they're sticking to.
Well, I mean, part of that, though, which I'm sure is true.
We also said Boucher is off the roster.
I know. It's actually really upsetting to me. Like, it's actually really upsetting.
That's why we don't have offensive rebounds.
I'm actually, like, I'm not going to bring it up. It's kind of, I'm getting choked up.
I like his development. I want to see him out there. And, well, the other thing, too, that's why I want us to lock up the two seed.
But I feel like.
Get some of these guys a little confidence. Go play. We're going to play against teams like the Bucks. We're going to play Denver.
This is the one good thing about having this play in, or whatever you want to call it, the end of the season tournament, is I feel like the reason that you're not seeing guys like, obviously we needed to make the playoffs, but or get the number two seed, but a guy like Terrence Davis, I guarantee you see his minutes go up. They need to get their legs underneath the bigs, right? They're gonna ride those guys for the first few games, obviously. They've got no game conditioning whatsoever. You're going to make sure they're game conditioned before you bring the other guys in. I think that's absolutely what's happening here, seeing a guy like Siakam play 36 minutes. Fred played 42 minutes. Come on. You're not going to see Fred play 42 minutes in the playoffs.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, I just think you're going to... I feel like, you know, obviously you're not going to play...
Depends on the game and the circumstance.
I agree. You're not going to play Matt Thomas. You're not going to play Stanley Johnson. You're not going to play Malcolm Miller. But that's what I thought was really strange. So Ibaka's
going to get... I'd like to see Terrence Davis get in there just because he was playing so well.
Phil, can you explain to me why... So, maybe I don't know anything about anything. Why is Malcolm Miller on the roster over Boucher?
That's a good question.
Why is Stanley Johnson...
Stanley Johnson, you know what? I'd rather have Malcolm Miller on the roster than Stanley Johnson.
But am I missing... why is Boucher not playing?
What about Watson?
What am I missing here? Is he hurt? Boucher must be hurt. I think he must have been hurt. There's got to be something. Did he play in the Lakers game or is he off the roster?
He's off the roster. He's not on
it. Okay, we need to end this podcast. I think I might unplug. I'm like really upset right now.
It's not a DNP coach decision. He's not even there.
Remember, I was reading an article about this and I tried to tell you about it. Then I couldn't find anything on why he wasn't playing. But now that I'm reading this, I think I might be done as a Raptors fan.
Stop it.
I'm just kidding. But I am really upset at it, the fact that Stanley Johnson's on the team over.
Well, Stanley Johnson has been such a disappointment because he was supposed to be a legitimate free agent signing. It's not like he's coming in to be a starter, but that guy was supposed to play. And
there's a guy named Paul Watson on here.
Yeah, I know.
NBA picture. He's got an NBA. He's got the outline of Jerry West.
He's been excellent in the G League.
Holy shit. Okay, let's move on because this is just making me upset now. Okay, so we've gone from Brooklyn to Orlando. Maybe this isn't where we should go. How many minutes are we in here? We're 29 minutes in, so people are probably getting a little sick of us, so they're probably having a good time laughing at some of the things we're saying there. Okay, so Philly sucks. That's a good thing. We can maybe, I don't necessarily know.
Do we even need to talk about Philly?
I think that's fun. That's the best part of it is to not talk about them.
Move on.
When Embiid's yelling at people and... Oh man, what a
drain. Embiid said he was going to slap the shit out of Shake. I keep forgetting his last name. That's how I hate Philly. Move on.
It's, you know, the only thing I'll say about Philly, and it's not.
They're scary good. The Eastern Conference has six teams that are all very good.
Yeah, Philly doesn't.
Indiana's the weakest of them.
You know who scared me the most out of Philly always was JJ Redick. That guy coming off screens last year in the playoffs was just like, I hate this. I hate this.
Every time you saw him start to move, like, no.
And then that sound? Just like the low swish. Okay. Last thing. Again, we can keep talking, but I think, you know, we want to make sure that people are staying with us when we say this, because if you've been a fan of this podcast for, you know, a number of years, like most of you have, you know that, you know, Phil and I, you know, had a really bit of a rough spot for Kyle Lowry for a couple of years. You know, probably the worst Raptor ever, hated his guts. You know,
there was one point. It was the biggest mistake that Masai ever made, not trading him in 2013 and keeping him. That's how much I disliked Kyle Lowry. And you know what? You brought up a good point, Blair. It's not that I disliked Kyle Lowry.
No.
It's just because I was so disappointed because I knew how good he was, good he is.
Yep.
And to not see him perform and have all these people, that's our guy, and him always being shit on as an underperformer. Yeah,
let me
it pissed me off.
Let me just correct that. It wasn't that we thought he was that good. We knew he was
good.
That
was a perfect response, Blair.
No, what we always said, we knew he was good. But he wasn't good in the playoffs. He wasn't good in the playoffs for a long time.
He had a number of games he showed up, but it was inconsistent. What
we said, Phil, was the reason that we hate on him so much is because he's the most important player on the team.
Correct.
That's what we said.
Yeah.
He is. He is the most important player on the team. There's no question about it. And you got to live and die by your most important player. So we respected him from that perspective, but he did let us down. And listen, he earned that reputation.
Yep.
He had a team. The team is part of the game. We got swept by Cleveland as the top seed. What a joke. It was a joke. It was the falling part.
Swept again.
Swept. It was a joke. Kyle Lowry last year to start the playoffs scored how many points in the first game?
He scored zero. I left the bar we were in. I actually, when I saw him miss a couple of free throws, I was like, that's it. It's over. Kyle Lowry's dead to me at that point.
0 points. Like, I mean, you know, that's never happened for any of the greats. Now
he's my he's the greatest Raptor of all time.
We're not going back here. I'm not trying to say it. All I'm saying is Kyle Lowry can do anything. He could score 0 points for the next 100 games. He's the greatest Raptor of all time. He's the second favorite Raptor of all time behind Shoot It Higher Van Vliet. Second favorite Raptor, but he's the best Raptor of all time, unquestionably. Better than Kawhi Leonard, better than everybody. In fact, I would say last year, you know, again, in the games, the deciding game against Golden State,
game six.
Came out on fire. He was the one who came out on fire. The guy's a champ. Yes, against LA, he was the one who was.
The first person you hear
LeBron say, he's like,
Kyle
Lowry. He's like, other people, you know, you may not, they dog on him. It's like, I know Kyle Lowry's a dog for a long time. You know what's actually shocking
is how much he's our version of Draymond Green.
Don't say that.
Everybody hates Kyle Lowry. Like around the outside of Toronto,
there's no reason to hate Kyle.
But they call him an actor. They said they give him his Oscar. Can Kyle Lowry ever finish a play without falling on the floor? Those are the comments that I see and read.
I've seen LeBron James fall on the floor. He's 280 pounds.
It is true. The Kelly Olynyk foul on Lowry, that was an absolute joke to be called a flagrant.
Yes, the swipe down. Yes,
that was
correct.
Brutal.
Hit his knee. It hit
now,
his, like,
Dragic should have gotten a flagrant for tripping.
Well, listen, Lowry got hit in the face. He's allowed to.
It's not a flagrant.
But that's not his fault. I'm just saying that's not his fault.
But he was selling it. He rolled around a little bit, and then all of a sudden, Kelly comes over when he's shooting free throws, being like, hey, I must have not hurt you that bad because he's just like two in a row, perfect swish.
That's not unusual for Kyle either. He must have been screwed up because nobody back rims it on the free throws. But Kyle Lowry passed Michael Jordan and Allen Iverson for assists.
He's getting there in the stats for Hall of Fame consideration.
I mean,
in my book, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he probably will be. He probably will be. I'd like to see one more deep run for him.
Is Chauncey Billups in the Hall of Fame? He's not eligible yet. No, he is. He's been retired.
I think Chauncey Billups is, oh my gosh, I was reading about this the other day because it's a direct comparison, right?
Well, someone the other, so Kendrick Perkins was on, I forget which show. He's obviously a huge Raptor supporter. But he was talking to, I forget who it was. Anyways, he brought up that the Toronto Raptors team looks an awful lot like the 04 Detroit Pistons, which I think is actually a very good comparison. Very good comparison.
Totally agree.
And
I think we play a little prettier than they do.
He brought up Chauncey Billups being comparable to Kyle Lowry, and the one guy just freaked out. Like people, probably is a result of just being and playing in Toronto all these years. We don't get the coverage. People don't follow enough, and we've only had this. We won an NBA Finals, but before you're getting swept out, so nobody's really caring or paying attention. His numbers are very similar.
You know what?
His points per game have always been pretty consistently better than Chauncey's. Assists are similar.
I don't have the stats to look up like some of the accolades. So
I was looking it up. Chauncey Billups was daggers. He hit daggers in the NBA Finals.
That's unbelievable that he was a Raptor, to start. Who we trade him for?
So he was actually drafted by Boston, and for some weird reason, he was the third overall pick, and he got traded that year, which is very strange. I don't know why. So he was only in Toronto for like 30 games.
Okay, so here's some of the stats. We'll just quickly go through these. I think this is a nice way to end tonight's thing, just a little Kyle Lowry tribute. Okay, so Billups was a 5-time All-Star, 2004 NBA champion, 2004 NBA Finals MVP.
Yep.
He made the NBA second team once, 2-time All-NBA third team, 2-time All-Defensive second team. So never first team or only once on first team or once. His averages for his career, 15.2 points, 5.4 assists, 2.9 rebounds.
Okay. And people talk about him like, oh my God, Chauncey Billups.
Well, they've got him at setting, so that apparently there's some sort of stat here. Basketball Reference says his Hall of Fame probability is 84%, so he's going to make it at some point. He's not a first ballot. Yeah. He'll make it. Tim Hardaway's not in the NBA, in the Hall of Fame.
Tim Hardaway's got some controversy, though.
We won't go into that tonight. I don't think it's probably the place. Maybe it should be. Maybe next time we'll do like a Black Lives Matter one, because I think that was, he wasn't, it was sort of sexually based, right? I think his problem. Yeah. Yep. So not really cool, but I don't know much about him. So we'll have to do some research on that and then maybe come back with a little bit of his averages were obviously Hall of Fame. 17.7 points, 8.2 assists, 3.3 rebounds, 1.6 steals.
Best crossover in the history of basketball.
Yeah, was it?
Tim Hardaway? Oh, it was legit.
They've got Sean Marion up there. His numbers are good. They've got Ben Wallace up there. That'd be
Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace is one of the best defensive players I've ever seen.
Unquestionable. Sean Kemp's not in there. Sean Kemp, obviously, in his prime was right up there. So let's just quickly go and just make a quick comparison because we started this on Billups. Let's go do a quick comparison on Kyle Lowry here. So, again, when I say Chauncey Billups, 15.2 points, 5.4 assists, 3 rebounds. We've got from Mr. Mike Lowry. Where's our stats here, Phil? I might not be able to figure this out. Averages. Okay. 14.8 points, so lower, right?
He had less. He had a number. Unfortunately, his early years are dragging him down. Because I think he was, when you look at Chauncey Billups, would have had years where he was more of a focal point in offense. Kyle had some really low number years at the beginning.
So, and Kyle is 6.2 assists versus 5.4, so almost an assist higher. 2.9 rebounds, Kyle's at 4.3 rebounds, so higher.
Really? Oh.
1.3 steals versus 1 steal. So, numbers are relatively close. I don't have the stats.
He's at least a 6-time All-Star, I believe.
He's a 6-time All-Star.
The All-NBA teams, I don't think, there's where he's lacking.
Mm-hmm. I don't have.
Has he ever even made a like?
He's All NBA third team once. All NBA, yeah. He's only made the All NBA third team. So that, you know, I take that with a grain of salt because there's clearly years that he deserves better than that, and he's just an underappreciated player, right? I mean, the Raptors have been the top team top two or three teams in the last three, four years.
So Kyle's got some work to do. We'll put it that way. He's got to be consistently, like you said, another deep playoff run.
Exactly. He goes deep this year with a good run.
He has two, three more good stat years. You throw in another All-Star appearance. It's going to be hard to keep him out.
Listen, I'm just going to say this as my final point for the night, which is, you know, I'm the ultimate pessimist, but watching the Raptors the other night, this is how we sort of started tonight, Phil, before we were in the podcast. But, you know, every time I watch this team play, my belief that they're better than everyone else just kind of keeps growing. And, like, I know I always, like, doubt. But at the same point, they play bad and beat great teams.
Yep.
That's the sign of a champion. Like, they turned the ball over like 25 times. It just looked like they wanted to give the game away against Miami, and they were up by 17 all of a sudden. I was like, what is going on here? And so, do I think that they're the favorites to win the championship? I think that they kind of are on par with everyone else at the top.
They are a top four.
I think the top team. I think there's 1A, 1B, and 1C. I think that we are the top team.
That's probably a good way to put it I just put them in the top. They're the top four.
If we shut down Giannis.
You look at Milwaukee, Toronto, Clippers, Lakers. Four teams are who you talk about.
We have the defense to shut down Giannis.
Yep.
If we do, we're better than Milwaukee is outside of him. I mean, it's a big if, but we have the defense to do that. We have the defense. We don't need Kawhi to do that. We know we have other people that can do that. We know that OG. I made fun of it earlier tonight, saying, well, he didn't play a minute last year in the playoffs. Well, when he plays against OG, or when he plays against Giannis and doesn't have to score, and he can put all of his energy on that side of the floor, he can be an incredibly good defender. He's an elite defender.
Defense is not the question. The question is, and what people are, reason why they still don't talk about the Raptors is, we have the next man up mentality, but people want to see a consistent superstar scorer that you give the ball to. And the Raptors don't have that, and we'll see if the next man up works, because Kyle Lowry was the Lakers, Van Vliet was Miami, Orlando game might be Siakam going off for 40 and getting the ball out of the game. But at the end of the day, who's going to be your guy that needs to make a play at the end of the game? I think that they should force it to Siakam. I think you should live and die by him and get him used to being that guy.
I think it's a driving kick. I think everyone collapses on the end of the game. Well, you have a wide open shot.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I think it should be Siakam. So there's the weakness that people perceive. I don't think it is a weakness, but we'll see.
Well, here's what we know. We know Gasol can't go off for a big game.
No, he's going to have his games occasionally where he might score 15.
We know that OG can't go off for a real big game. He's going to have to be slashing and dunking in a couple wide open threes.
Lowry, Van Vliet, and Siakam.
Ibaka can score 25, 30. Absolutely he can.
I can, but it's not. He's going to be a real one-off. If you're talking like consistent.
It's
going
to be a matchup thing. But I would say he can score more than OG can.
Yeah,
he can create offense and hit three of his shots.
Well, I don't know about create. You got to get him in the right spot, right time in the post.
But he's gonna hit three. He can hit threes. He can hit pull ups from the.
He's actually become a much better passer as well. Everybody's got so much. Everyone's just so dialed in. They know their roles. They know everything.
Powell can score 25. Absolutely,
yes, he can.
Especially against Milwaukee.
Hey, we got.
I wouldn't be surprised if Terrence David. I mean, and they're not going to play him the minutes because he's defensively.
They'll play him if he
gets
scoring.
Hot. He gets hot, like as an athlete.
That's so, great, again, and we've all seen it. But we've all seen teams that have this type of structure, but at the end of the day, you look at the NBA champions of the years. What's the only team that's really that you can recall didn't have that superstar player that you have to go to the end of the game? The 04 Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
Every other team, it's either Kobe, LeBron.
Well, I would say that the Mavs had Nowitzki, but Nowitzki at that
he was MVP that year.
I know he was the MVP.
Guy.
I know he was MVP, but
no, that was the
but
guy.
That's only him. It's only him. Who else?
Dallas was like Toronto last year. Like, you know, that was the similarities. But
yeah, and Dirk scored. There's no question.
Dirk was spectacular.
Dirk was a weird player because for me, he was dominant and just looked so ugly. It was so ugly.
Exactly. I know.
But I would say, Dallas does remind me a bit of the Raptors because they didn't win but only because of Dirk. They were scoring 120 points a game. He was scoring 30. They were scoring tons all over the place. They just had lots of balance.
You always have to, but at the end of the game, who got the ball? Dirk. No matter what. Didn't matter.
Of course.
Who? It didn't matter. Jason Terry had 35 points in that game.
But they weren't the Heat. They weren't the Heat with you know, with Wade, LeBron, and Bosh, and Ray Allen, and this. They were like, it was Dirk, and then a bunch of guys that ran around.
Well,
and
no,
they like,
similar last year. But my point is that why people would be like, I'm okay with the structure, or just you'd feel more confident with being confident in that team, is because they know that Dirk's going to get the ball. Yeah. With the Raptors, it's like, is it Lowry this time? Is it Van Vliet? Do you give it to Siakam? Who's on him? I think you're right. It's going to be a matchup thing, and that it's going to be like that the entire playoffs. Let's see if it works.
Yeah.
All right. And on that,
who are we playing next?
Orlando. And then we got Boston.
All right. We'll probably do one after the Boston game.
Sure.
Orlando, I don't know if they're deserving. Won't even be angry if we lose. So I can only be angry.
No,
after
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't care. Frankly, what I said, I jinxed the shit out of us. So we're losing that game anyways. So.
Okay.
It's over.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Listen to both podcasts, please. If you listen to this one first, go back to the last one because it's pretty funny. Good job.
Woo!
Bye, everyone.